Romanian counts, make-believe ballrooms, and alien invasions all have played a part in Cleveland's radio history. These colorful, bizarre, and sometimes tragic moments are the subject of a new book.
Gotta get down!
In the 1970s, Murray Saul, a middle-aged salesman at rock station WMMS, would go on the air to kick off the weekend with tales of his planned debauchery. He and the station he worked for are one of the highlights of Michael Shefsky's new book, Cleveland Radio Tales.
I'll tell you the truth, a lot of the stuff that we just can't print, because a lot of it was just private, and a lot of stuff, well, you don't want to know. It's like sausage. You don't want to know what goes into it. You just want the finished product.
Well, Shefsky's book focuses on a variety of radio formats in Cleveland from the 1950s to the 80s. Almost every station back then had a news department. Ray Kozlowski was a news anchor at WGAR AM in 1964 and was one of the first in the country to break an international story, all because he happened to be chatting with an old friend stationed in Europe with Reuters.
And the friend from Reuters was saying, what's that? Khrushchev's been deposed. And he basically was repeating everything this other guy was saying. He just walked on the air and said, Nikita Khrushchev has been deposed, and Cleveland knew it before Moscow knew it.
Well, Shefsky's book looks back at other moments of radio as a public service, such as the Glenville riots. At the time, Seoul station WABQ had to sign off each night at sundown, but during the riots, they defied FCC rules to stay on the air with safety updates.
Every city has its own history. And one thing I'll say about Cleveland, this is the great melting pot. And a lot of that, a lot of those cultures and their traditions kind of combined to give us great radio. You know, people will look at the radio and television that we looked at here in Cleveland and say, what's so special about this?
Well, Shefsky says there are few existing recordings to explain what made many of the personalities in the book so special, such as Wayne Mack and his make-believe ballroom.
This is Wayne Mack for WDOK, wishing you good night. May you sleep warm and untroubled.
But it was so realistic. People used to drive around for hours looking for this crystal ballroom. He just had that magic that held us.
The same goes for Bill Randall, a DJ who was so popular, station management built him his own full bathroom.
Bill Randall was the exact opposite of everything you heard about radio. He spoke in a monotone, droned on about himself. He would play records on his own that you would thought, why would he play the Mormon Tabernacle Choir after Elvis Presley? The thing was, he knew what clicked with Cleveland.
The book is not just about the eccentricities of professional DJs, but also the impact the stations had on everyday life. There's the story of Jimi Hendrix nearly causing a riot while visiting radio stations, or tech-savvy students in the mid-1960s building their own pirate radio stations. There's also a chapter on Orson Welles' famous War of the Worlds broadcast.
On this particular evening, October 30th, the Crosley Service estimated that 32 million people were listening in on radios.
The DJ at the Cleveland station carrying the broadcast was a young announcer named Jack Parr. He would eventually go on to host The Tonight Show. But that night in 1938, the radio rookie was fielding panicked phone calls. He explained what happened next during an appearance on NBC's Late Night with David Letterman in 1986.
Most of the country believed it. I just couldn't stand the phone calls anymore. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, this is a drama, I think. And we're checking with New Jersey. And please do not phone the station because... God, I can't just handle any more of this, you know.
Cleveland radio has had more than its share of characters. Take Count John Manilesco, for example, who hosted a show on News Talk WERE. Manilesco, who claimed to be a psychic from Romania, went so far as to perform a live on-air exorcism. Again, few tapes of his long-running show exist today. But his most enduring legacy is one that Michael Shefsky himself had a hand in.
So that was when the song Whip It by Devo was out. And what we did was he would just sit down and say, give me the copy. And he would read copy for commercials and next air promotions. He didn't know what he was reading. He just read it. And he read the lyrics to Whip It. We put it to the backing track, gave it to a guy to actually play on a show. It caused a sensation. Didn't tell the count about it, though.
Rock and roll. When a problem comes along, you must whip it.
So all of a sudden, somebody calls up the Count show at night and says, why don't you take that dirty song that you did off the air? And he says, what song? And she told him about it. He called me up, got Whip It, put it on the air. He was convinced he could be a rock and roll star.
Now, Whip It into shape.
Well, Shefsky and his wife Jan, who co-authored the book, say they hope documenting these stories ensures that the Count, Bill Randall, Murray Saul, and so many others are remembered for their contributions to Cleveland. I'm Kabir Bhatia, 89.7. WKSU.
When a good time comes around, you must whip it. You'll never live it down unless you whip it. No one gets away until they whip it.